you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com and syndicated around the world. Please check us out, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, and the list goes on and on. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium and interfaith minister, the founder of RaisingTheVibration.org, which is a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. I'm also a 27-year talk radio host, so I wear a lot of hats on this show. And I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, and the show RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. Raising the Vibration is an outreach of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I mentioned earlier that I founded in 2016, the year my mom passed, on her birthday, November 9th, to sort of celebrate her spiritual and humane teachings. And this show is about ascending, evolving, inspiring, loving. In essence, what are you doing to make the world a better place? I gather the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls that I can think of to talk about service and passion and love and all of those important things. And like I said, how are you doing your part to make the world just a little bit better, a little bit brighter, and a little bit more beautiful? That's what Raising the Vibration is all about. Joining me today on the show, she's been here before, but this is her first time being here since we started, did our move this year to liveparanormal.com, which is very exciting, and became part of the iHeartRadio family, which is also very exciting. She's a wonderfully talented actress and creative artist, also the founder of the New Hollywood, which is very much her give back, helping to strengthen the lives and careers of women and men. But founded originally to help women out in the entertainment industry where we need lots of help. Please welcome to the show my wonderful friend and fantastic guest, Brianna Brown, is here. How are you, my friend? It's so wonderful to have you here.
Oh, I'm so good. Oh, this feels so normal-ish. I miss you.
Right? Right? I miss you too, sweetheart. What a crazy year and a half we've had, right? It's unbelievable, I think, we've all survived it. Well, many of us haven't, sadly, but I mean, those of us that are here, it's like going through a tremendous trauma, right? We've all been through this 18-month trauma, and even though many people have thrived creatively during that time, because for the first time in your life, you had time to do things and relax and be in your home, I also think it's emotionally taken a toll on us.
Yeah, I think it's just really, it's so crazy since, and as all of you know, that we all have such completely different experiences with what has happened over the past 18 months. And we like to think that it's done, and it's just not.
No. So, it just is the gift that keeps on giving, unfortunately. It just sort of keeps coming back, and I think it will be through the better part of next year as well.
I do too. But I do think that the blessing, and there's many blessings if we choose to look at them, is that we can see how resilient we are, right? And how much we can adapt. And I think that that's a huge blessing in disguise for so many people,
right,
to realize. And also to pull the weeds of things that no longer serve us, people no longer serve us,
right?
Do lists that no longer serve us, obligations that no longer serve us, and to hopefully set boundaries and speak up with people in situations that maybe you've tolerated or just been used to because you've been in the rat race. I know that's been a big aha for me. And so many people
me
I
too.
Know just pulling the weeds and really evaluating who are my core people, who really have my back, what situations really are serving me, how do I help them thrive, what no longer serves me. I think it's that time to allow that reflection is really invaluable.
Yeah, I agree 100% about that. And I think that that came from, you know, when you're an active, busy person, and we'll just talk about being a creative artist because that's what you do and what I do with part of my life. You're just running from job to job and thing to thing and grabbing the thing and doing the thing and promoting the thing and then trying to get the next thing. And you don't have a lot of time to just sit and think and really sort of ruminate on your personal life. I always laugh on the show that I, you know, became a really great actor at 15, but I didn't become a really, really great person at 30. So I was 30. I wasn't a bad person, but I knew who I was as an artist before I knew who I was as a person. Because in the beginning, it was all about just art all the time, right? And I think that even now I didn't realize how much of that was still in me until I had this year and a half to think. And I thought, wow, I realized that I was doing and putting up with a lot of people's behaviors that no longer served me because of that old sort of thing they push on us in acting school, right? Well, take what you get because it might be your last thing. And if somebody's mean to you, just put up with it because the job's the most important thing. And as people around me were dying, and many of my older friends died, I started thinking, you know what? No, that's not true. I don't have to just put up with anything because it's in front of me. I can pick and choose who and what I want to do and who I want to work for and what I want my life to be. And I decide that and not, you know, some you know, cultural, standard that doesn't make any sense anyhow when you look at it. And I think that a lot of actors at a young age, right, that sort of oppressiveness is put into us that just, you know, do anything you have to do and take whatever you get and just bear up against it. And that's not how you have to live your life, you know?
Right. Well, I think that's true for most small business owners, entrepreneurs, artists, right?
Yes.
And, one of the key things that I use within the New Hollywood, which is actually a guidebook that I wrote, it's called Manifesting Your Mission. And, you know, I'm really religious about using it because it forces me to take time and look and evaluate and get clear on what I want and where I'm evolving and, you know, and to get clear on it. Because I think most of us, you know, many people stay super busy, A, out of necessity, but two, because when you slow down, then you have to deal with your baloney. And, you know, that's often workaholic.
Yes.
It's a way to not deal with trauma, right? So when you suddenly are forced to be in isolation or you notice you have to look at mortality, right, and saying, what do I want my legacy to be? Because there's no guarantee for how long it will be. And I think being comfortable in the reality that we only have, we don't know, right? We don't know how much time on this planet. We don't know how we're going to go out. how do we use that time in the best way that serves what we're most passionate about and not, like you said, getting distracted in the have-tos and not getting distracted in things that just no longer serve us. The idea is that, like, it's part of who we were, but we've grown beyond it or it just no longer serves what we ultimately want. So I think that this time is such a – this isolation has its positive and negative, but if we use it correctly, it can really help make sure that we're staying on what feels good to us now because it evolves. As you know, you have multiple hats and so many irons in the fire and so many of them, you know – they've run their course and then you realize like, hey, that is a stepping stone or that no longer serves me. And I think that this is just it's important to just always set aside time to really make sure that what our time and energy is focused on is what it is that we say our purpose is. Oh, at least right now.
And like you said, to really focus on those that we resonate with emotionally and spiritually and creatively, and we realize whatever your creativity is, whatever it is you do with your life, that our passions align and that they're the kind of people that feed your soul and make you feel good. And it's interesting how this is a very interesting time, I think, and this might be kind of an off-the-wall thing to say, but so many folks, right, that I guess emotional, psychological, spiritual community, you would call them narcissists, they sort of feed off the energy of others. And this must have been a very strange time for them because they didn't have that. There was nobody anymore. Yeah. But at the same time, how beautiful it was for empaths because it freed us from that. And sometimes you just need a little distance, you know? Even, in, I think, in a relationship with somebody, no matter what kind of relationship, romantic, family, friend, work, coworker, sometimes a little distance is a good thing because it makes you realize what you really want and what you don't want. And I think this was so great for that. And I'm so interested to see how friendships evolve, how family relationships evolve, how creative partnerships evolve moving forward now that we've all had some time to think and we're not just knee-jerking and leaping all the time into the next thing, you know?
Yes. Yes, I agree. It's a you know, interesting journey for all of us as we're exploring this new normal.
Right, yeah.
And someone who's also a fellow empath, you know, the great thing that I really loved about this is, you know, in the beginning of the pandemic, I'm just like, you know, what can I do? Not just with my time, obviously, because I have a toddler, so I had a lot to do. But what can I do to be adding value? Because I saw so many people stuck in fear and just stuck.
Yes.
And so one of the things I actually did is I ended up creating a 12-week coaching course using my guidebook because I was like, this is the time to double down on figuring out how to use your time wisely instead of sleeping all day and eating all day and being, you know, stuck in the rabbit hole of social media. You know, I mean, I get it if people want to do, you know, get their TikTok dances on, but, you know, I'm like, this can be a real time of advantage, right, if it's used in the right way. And I think a lot of people jumped on that train a little later, but I knew a lot of people that really were stuck in the horror of it, you know, and being paralyzed. So it was a really cool thing for me to take all the things that I've culminated for, really, I mean, I started the New Hollywood back in 2006 to support socially conscious storytellers and change makers through goal setting, mentorship, and grants. And the foundation is, like I mentioned, my guidebook. And so it was really fun to be able to do that. And also, and I know you'll get a kick out of this, it was fun to allow myself permission and the time to really get in touch with my empathic, intuitive side in not just for myself, but supporting others. So I got to be a little witchy and get paid for it.
Well, that's what you see. That's what I've done with most of my life now. I realize, oh, I can do this, and then no one cares. I can just be a little witchy all the time. And it was a good time to sort of, in the beginning, it was a very hard time. I remember going into a grocery store a couple months after the quarantine and literally feeling the panic coming off of everybody. And it was so oppressive that I had to cut my visit short and leave. Now that's much better because people have realized we're not all going to die. So that's gotten a little bit better. But the global feeling of the depression and the fear and the panic. I mean, if you're an empath, you're feeling what's going on in the world all the time. You're feeling what's going on with the people that you work with or reach with what you do. You're feeling what your family and friends are going through, and then your own feelings on top of that. So how do you sort of sort out? Because doing something like that course that you did, and I teach webinars, so it's the same thing, you're feeling the energy of everybody who's tuning in. And it's just like they're sitting in the room. You still have to navigate those energies, right? So how do you sort of protect your own heart and soul to make sure that it's great to be in service, but you can't continue to serve if you can't protect you, right?
Yeah. Well, the good thing, the way that I set it up is so that it's so focused on what you do have control over, and of gratitude, and also getting in touch with their own intuition, so that they feel like they're forced to be put in a state of gratitude, which is the opposite of anxiety, right? You cannot be anxious and grateful at the same time. So intuition. To trust our intuition more versus overthinking. And I think, you know, I personally did a lot of social media cleansing because there's just such chaos of the wild, wild west there. There's so many great things about it. And then there's some, you know, doom scrolling that's not advantageous. And so
yes.
I, you know, the thing for me was not just with the coaching, but with just in general was boundaries with, you know, that just because some people in my life would talk the loudest, the longest, the most often, it doesn't mean that their experience and what they need is the most valid. And I had to have a really uncomfortable conversation about that, a couple of them, where it's like, just because, you know, you're freaking out the most doesn't mean that your experience is more valid than mine. And also, just because I'm not sharing it and journaling about it on social media or, you know, whatever, doesn't mean that I'm not going through things too. So there has to be room for fluidity and just an acknowledgement that we're all dealing with different things due to this pandemic, right? And just
right.
Life, right?
Yes.
And so you think about all the people that have separated or gotten divorced because it just was, you know, it's just, you're not supposed to be on top of each other all the time, or you're not supposed to have that kind of financial stress, or your kids are not supposed to be at home doing Zoom classes when they are toddlers, you know, it's just, or, you know,
right.
Tweens. So I think that these are, you know, trying times that obviously build character, and I used a lot of grounding, and obviously you have your meltdowns. You got to get it out, better out than in.
Sure.
And meditation. Meditation was a big thing. I'm really into the Ziva meditation practice by Emily Fletcher. I think she does a fabulous job in teaching meditation, and of all the things that I've tried. And I just think that, you know, you find your different tools in your toolbox like you do. And
yeah.
And that has really helped me. I'm also a big fan of, I'm sure you know, Dr. Orloff's book, Survival of the Empath. And she has a lot of great tools. She's actually a psychologist. No, psychiatrist. She's a psychiatrist who's an empath who specifically has written books for highly sensitive people. So, I, you know, going to those resources,
yes.
and like friends like you who get it, that you, you know, same sort of thing. I wouldn't go to a grocery store unless it was early in the morning because I just didn't want to deal
yeah.
with everyone being – I didn't want to deal with the paranoia of, like, let's put our food in bleach so I don't die. I'm like, it's a little – it's a lot. What's going on with a lot?
Right. Yeah, it was a
and
lot. Yes, and it was, yeah.
And I think, like, with obviously, you know, once Trump was out of office, I felt a real, like, exhale because then suddenly the media didn't feel as much like a reality show where I'm like, I'm sorry, what's happening? Like, where it was like a reality show trying
right.
to get ratings for the next day. Or I'm like, I can't handle the reality show that has become our government.
Right.
And
right.
So that helped, I think, untangle some things. But, you know, I'm, you know, like I said, meditation and then just giving myself goals that were within my control. And then with other people, especially while I'm coaching with them, like breathing it out and uncording from them. And like, you know, like we all know who'll be listening to this is really, you know, not taking things personally because we're all on our own journey. So, and you know, it's also, there's just a lot of people, especially on social media, where I would just mute them. I would just, I'm like, if you don't
yeah.
make me feel yummy or good or inspired, then I'm just, and I need to stay friends with you because of a personal, for a personal reason or a professional reason, like, I'm just going to mute you. I mean, I'm just not really going to see you in my
yeah.
algorithm anymore.
Right. The great art of the
like
mute.
I said,
yeah, I need to
yeah.
go back to Twitter. I kind of gave Twitter a rest, and I know I need to go back
yeah.
there, but I know it's going to mean, you know, it's interesting because I'm such a middle-of-the-road person, right? I try to love everybody regardless of where they come from and try to keep my political opinions to myself, although it doesn't always happen, but I try because I see all the sides and I understand and I don't believe just because somebody's not like me that I shouldn't be
yeah.
tolerant of them. So when I began Twitter, when I first started
yeah.
working at my last radio station, I decided that everybody I was going to follow on Twitter were all my radio guests. So I followed every single person who'd ever been on the show, and that was what I did on Twitter. Well, that started in 2009, and by the time we got around to, like, 2017, I would start seeing the most hateful things in my Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And I thought,
yeah.
you know, I'm trying so hard to find a way to connect with everybody in a place of love. But you've just fallen off the deep end, and it's a lot. So when the pandemic hit, I thought, you know what, I can't with Twitter. I can't with everybody, and it's all political, and this person did this to us, and this person's lying to us. And, you know, I just did a sermon. I do a monthly service. I'm pastored at a church in Hollywood, and I'm their interfaith pastor, and I do a service on the second Saturday of every month. And my service this time was about rise above your fears. And when Spirit first gave me the download to do it, I thought, well, that's kind of a funny pun because it's Halloween month. But it, I really realized as I was doing the sermon how important it is, and how this fear, right, that the world lies to us, the government lies to us, our friends are lying to us, our spouse is lying to us. Yeah. You can get in this place of everything becomes a conspiracy. And it's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down, because you become, then you begin to take, you're not only taking in and ingesting other people's negativity, Brianna, right, but you're now beginning to create your own because of it. And it just becomes like a snowball rolling down the hill. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as more negativity compounds more negativity. And it's so unnecessary. Does the government lie to us? Well, I'm sure probably. Have people lied to me in my life? Well, you know, some I can prove, some I just guess. But, yeah, probably. But you can't get so – your journey on the earth is not to get so invested in what other people are doing that you allow it to take over what you're doing, right? And so I understand when something like COVID hits, it's easy for people to start asking, well, why, and where did it come from, and why is it happening, and why isn't the vaccine coming faster, and why aren't people getting better? And then your mind starts to tick, 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 tick. And that's when I think you really need to, like, take up knitting or something, because you have to have something that pulls you away from this idea that everything is out to get us, because then that breaks the tie to your higher power, right? Because then you begin to think, well, you know, I know God hates me and God made COVID to kill us all. And I'm like, oh, and now we're really down a rabbit hole. Not only does everybody on the earth lie and hate to it, but now your higher power lies to you and hates you too. And I don't even know where you go from there. And I would imagine there are a lot of people on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, probably more than ever in our world right now. Because people's brains have a lot of time to just go click, 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 click.
For sure, for sure. And it feels like with all of that, it's put so many people in victim mode versus an explorative, expansive mode, you know, waiting for that superhero and their super villains and super, like, you know, I need someone else to come rescue me, instead of the emphasis being, okay, this is something that we're all uncomfortable with, and how can I use this as an opportunity to focus on what I do have control over? You know, why was there not more of a push in the beginning of the pandemic about boosting your immune system as we figure this out? Why, you know, instead it was just antagonizing and dividing, and how can we use this as a better way to communicate with each other? And I think that that's an overarching issue within, like you said, politics, where it's so, everything's just so extreme. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen the documentary, The Social Dilemma, on Netflix, but it just shows that the wormhole that this you know, fake world has really influenced the real world, right? And, you know, I was listening to Dave Chappelle's last special, and he said, you know, something about Twitter, and he said, you know, someone was dragging me down on Twitter. He's like, well, they can drag me down, but Twitter's not a real place. And I thought that was funny, because it's not a real place. It's just, you know, cyberspace.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting looking at, like, you know, what are the things that we can do to be more understanding of each other, because I'm in agreement with you. I'm a centrist, so I do understand both sides. I also am very against people who will just try to antagonize and are, you know, antagonize fear, or you know, aren't willing to have a conversation or see a different side, or just, you know, as an artist, you know, from artist to artist, one of the blessings of it, which is kind of similar to therapy, is that you're looking at, why is someone the way they are? What do you think? What would make someone become that way? What would, you know, and you go into those things. So, you know, instead of you're bad, I'm good, they're wrong, I'm right. And there's plenty of room, like you said, for conspiracy theories to just blame other people so we don't have to take any personal responsibility for potentially, you know, how we could be contributing or making it worse or, you know, that, gosh, by the way, this is part of the human experience. This isn't the first time there's ever been a health crisis, you know. This isn't the bubonic plague, you know. We haven't had a third of our, you know, world die from it. So let's look at this and what can we learn from it for the future. And these things happen, unfortunately. So, you know, I think we're so used to things kind of being, you know, working out or being, you know, easy that we're just like, well, I can't handle it, so let me get on something to numb out how hard it is. You know, I think about, like, during the Depression or just, there's just, you know, World War II, there's so many things that have happened over the years where life is hard, you know. This isn't the first time. This is maybe the first time in our lifetime or one of, you know. But it's not going to be the last time. It may not come in this form. So how do we as a human species and spirit, how do we evolve and how do we learn and how do we grow and how do we support each other more? And I think, like you said, the division and the fear and the hate and really the separation from God, right, or source of, like, which is love. You know, and people using that as an advantage to control people, you know, it's very interesting what people do in the, you know, for their God, as we know, right, throughout history. It's like, whoa, you do that for your God? That's crazy. That's a lot. So hopefully it's allowed more people, like you said, to just kind of crack open and look at themselves and look at what they believe and move yeah. forward. So that's, I feel like for most people on the spiritual journey, it's allowed that. And if we can get back to having, you know, amicable disagreements without people being afraid of being canceled, or saying, being yeah. fearful of saying the wrong thing, or being afraid that they are going to, you know, I can't learn anything, you know, I can't make a mistake, you know, which is part of how we grow, that hopefully we can help each other continue to evolve and do so in a loving way. I was listening to this really great conversation from Carolyn Miss, who I just really love her materials. She's written Anatomy of the Spirit and just a bunch. She's a medical medium, or she was a medical medium, sure. and she's a spiritual teacher. But one of the things that I was listening to is that she said, you know, people who are, like, strong environmentalists are, you know, just get so angry at people who aren't strong environmentalists. And she kind of was saying, like, well, I understand that, you know, you have all this knowledge, you know, that not everyone is yet awakened to that information. So instead of, like, being angry that they're using plastic straws, let's say, how can you lovingly support them in knowing more so they're not bad and you're not good? It's just, like, we're at different levels of knowledge in that area. And she said it way more eloquently than what I just said. I just thought that was such a beautiful way to look at it because she, and then she said, you aren't always knowledgeable of that either. You know, it's like, you're right. I wasn't, you know, a couple decades ago, I had no problem using the plastic straws if that was your thing or whatever the analogy would be. And I thought that was really, it's like allow, one of the things she says is it's allow people to evolve, And you know, one of the big things that I really am, you know, a proponent of, and I talk about this when I speak or, you know, when I, in my book, and with the New Hollywood, is that the only, I really believe this, that the only way to lead is to lead by example. So, like, we can preach, but if our actions don't reflect that, then it doesn't really matter. And just as long as we can keep, you know, leading by example, other people will then be awakened to just another way or seeing it slightly differently. Or like you said, you listening to people with love, that probably opens up people's hearts to yeah. this possibility or saying like, oh, I'm not so stuck in that it needs to look this way or that way. You know, and feeling heard. Like, everyone wants to feel validated and accepted and acknowledged. So if you can give that, you know, within the human experience, then we have a place of hopefully people being willing to, like, evolve.
Yes. And I think that really is the key to evolution, right? It's the more you open up and become accepting of your place in the whole. It's funny because I notice that sometimes folks that have, you know, differing political beliefs and sociological beliefs from mine will talk about how, well, you know, diversity and equality, it takes away your individuality. Like, you no longer can be who you are, contrary to anything spirit has ever told me. What is the trick is to retain your individuality, to be very proud of who you are, but very accepting of the fact that everyone else is your equal. So, you know, no one's telling you not to be proud to be Irish anymore, but just understand that anybody who's Italian or African-American or Chinese-American, they have the same level of pride in who they are, and that's just as beautiful as mine. You're not supposed to become part of this, like the Borg, right? You're not supposed to lose your individuality completely. You're just supposed to understand that you are a piece of the pie, and the pie is vast and all-encompassing. And that, to me, is what you begin to ascend.
Yeah. I mean, there's this wonderful TED Talk that I saw, and I listened to this man's 60 Minutes, and it was so incredible. It's Daryl Davis. If you haven't seen his TED Talk, and it's about he's no longer here, but it really helped me, especially when everything was happening with the protests and, you know, the George Floyd situation, that everything then felt so obviously so out of control and awful for so many reasons. And I remember watching that, and he was a former musician, and he was a black man, and he attended KKK rallies, and he knew so much about the KKK, and he, like, kind of was accepted in some of the circles and became friends with some of the grandmasters, and suddenly they're seeing an example of someone who was open and listen and validating and yet definitely challenge their belief system, but challenge their belief system in a way that made them realize that they had been brainwashed to have fear over faith. And it was so mind-blowing. He's had so many top-notch KKK members. I think he gathered over 100 of their robes and turned them in. And I was like, what an incredible purpose that man felt called to, because these people were misled and taught hate over love. And this man, for whatever his reasoning, was able to go in and shift all those people's mindset. And I was just so blown away. I'm like, you know, if that can happen, then there's hope for other people who are struggling with hate and feeling vulnerable and victimized and, you know, oppressed and whatever causes someone to go down that rabbit hole of negativity, to become more awakened, and that they're not necessarily stuck in that forever if they have someone lead by example. And anyway, it's a beautiful, his talks and everything just really, especially during that time, really gave me hope when it felt really hopeless.
Beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah, and to understand that you can change and make your individuality, you know, we're constantly a flowing and evolving being, right? We're not Terry. We don't have to have every single one of the same beliefs. We're allowed to add more things. I kind of talk about it like the spiritual salad bar, right? Maybe when you were a kid, you went to Sizzler and you only got like the meatballs and the pasta and the ice cream and the french fries. But now you're 30 and you want to get some more things like the green vegetables and try a soup. And it's the same way as we evolve spiritually, like we, and emotionally, we have a right to add more things in. And it's okay. It's interesting because the church that I'm pastored at, and I was never a church person, never belonged to a church, didn't grow up a church goer. It's all very new for me. Is a church that was founded over half a century ago or 50 years ago by folks in the LGBTQ+ community that had been kicked out of their own churches, and they were fighting to be Christian. So when I got there were a lot of people who I think kind of thought they had to sort of defiantly only be Christian because of all the years they were told they couldn't be. And then I get up there and start talking about Buddha and reincarnation and crystals and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, one Saturday a month. And in the beginning, it was all very quiet, like we'd be having like a sit-down lunch after Sunday service, and people would whisper to me like, I like crystals, or I believe in past lives. Now I notice, you know, 2.5+ years in being there,
people, even the other pastors, are now being very open about their spirituality outside of Christianity. And I think that's beautiful. It doesn't make them any less a Christian. It just makes, they're putting more things on their salad bar plate now. And I think we should do that politically. If you start to believe something that surprises you, you know what? It's okay. If it's not hurting or harming anyone, it's okay to say, you know, I'm a little of a centrist, or I'm more left of center. And this idea that politically we all have to pick a pole and run as far in the other direction as we can, or even, you know, creatively, maybe you've decided, you know what, I'm going to try to write this. I'm not normally this kind of writer, but I'm going to try this thing. To me, that's ascension, right, is part of evolution, to try different things, that getting the messages all the time from spirit or higher power or whatever you want to call higher power, God or goddess, and listen and do it. Try something new. It's okay. You don't always have to play the same kind of roles, play the same kind of music, run the same kind of business. You're allowed to try something new.
Well, and as you both know, and I'm sure most of the listeners, the listeners is like artists to keep swimming. They evolve, they grow, they're expansive. Like, it's just, they want to keep exploring, you know, and like, what, that's so great that you're incorporating other incredible teachers within your church. And, you know, whether you believe that that person is the most important one, you know, that's on you. And, you know, that's for you to discover. And unlike you, I really do believe life is a life school, and all these things, you know, the hurdles in our lives are really often incredible opportunities to catapult us into our bigger purpose if we frame it in the right way and really choose to learn from it. But I think as an artist, I feel blessed because it's encouraged to keep exploring and pushing boundaries. And for people who, are set in identity based on where they were raised or, you know, where they're from, like, I'm from the Midwest, and it's just, there's just a certain way that you just kind of assume that you should live. There's a lot of shoulds. And some of those shoulds are really right on that I kind of, as I've gotten older, I'm like, that's a good should. And then there's a lot that I think, that's not a should for me, thank you. I think that I feel lucky that I've been encouraged to explore. I have a family member who lives in Indiana, and she doesn't, feel like she can talk about anxiety or depression or just a lot of things that seem, even, alternative diets because of health issues, because it just seems so it's just not what people do there. They don't talk about it. It's just so weird to me. I'm like, I'm in LA where if you don't have a therapist or you've never been to therapy, you're weird, right? Like, you're like, what's wrong with you? Or if you haven't never had some sort of food sensitivity, or I don't know, you're not on some cleanse at one point in your life, it's like, what's wrong with you? where it's like maybe to another extreme. But I feel that, the idea of having like that real growth mentality and exploring, and I'm obsessed with learning. It is what gets me off, and charges and, sparks me. And also, as I've gotten older, the more like you, the more that I can get in touch with spirit and really explore that and explore my intuition and validate, when I just know things that I know things and just acknowledge it versus dim it and just saying like, this is a part of who I am, and I don't need to squash it because it's uncomfortable or whatnot, is really cool.
Was it easy for you to shed some of your Midwestern ideologies, or was that a process?
A couple things. When I was younger, I had a handful of like really beautiful experiences with spirit, and as young as 14. So where I had a really profound experience where I knew that I knew it was almost like my life before and my life after. It was a very profound, like, 180. And so at that moment, I knew bullying and hardship, you know, for me, from my past, everybody's got lots of hardships. I'm not trying to say my hardship was the most, hard hardship. let me just preface that. But because of the experience that I had, which I'm not going to go into detail with at this point, but like because of that, I had a real strong sense of faith. And actually when I was a youth leader at a Christian church, it wasn't, that really got shook up when I found out that one of the adult ministers who I really admired, right? Because I'd had some kind of crazy experiences with, energy and spirit as well, like after that. And she made some comments that were homophobic to me about a friend, you know, in her belief system about like going to hell. And at that moment, like I knew that that wasn't the right place for me. You know, I was like, I have friends, and if they're going to hell, then you're going to hell, and I'm going to hell. And now I no longer, like, look at you in the same way, right? And this was back in 1998, So I think that kind of that immediately was a big aha of, like, I can't identify with this in the same way. And because I came out to Los Angeles when I was 19, I was very open to, there's all sorts of different ways to live, and not everyone needs to, you know, get married right out of college and pop out babies and, you know, have the same sort of job and whatnot. But I do think that spiritual kind of awakening or aha when I was young, and then that juxtaposition of really pulling away from, you know, religion, was a hard time when I moved to LA, since it, you know, it can be anything here. You can go down a lot of different rabbit holes. So that made it easier to shed some of these ideas, because I just didn't believe the same things that other people did in the same way. Like, I just had a knowing that the God I believed in wasn't that kind of God. But, you know, the God I believed in wasn't a God that hated others or was, you know, I remember going to a sermon in Hollywood at a non-denominational church where the person was saying that God's putting Bush to be president to abolish abortion. I was like, well, I'm not coming back here because you just made that up. And tell me, like, okay.
Right.
I don't think that's really it. So I think that in a way, having that happen made me be able to untangle from some of those ideas of what, like just that, like the kind of, I don't want to say brainwashing, but just the way it's like, this is how everything should be. You know, I was just more curious.
I agree.
As to the cultures and, you know, like, wow, they do it differently there. And just because we do it this way here in the Midwest, and the Southerners do it this way, and this person from another country does it this way. And oh, that's so interesting. And then just seeing everybody believing their way is the way. And be like, oh, that's interesting.
Right, and that's time to say that's not just a Christian Republican ideology. I have a lot of liberal friends who are like, one of the things I love about my church is that it's a church founded by folks from this community, but it's not only for folks from the queer community, and it's also not queer community agenda only, because some places, it's just, especially at oppressed people, right, they will pick one agenda that is for them. And I believe that your cause should also be my cause. So my agenda is everybody's causes, whether or not I belong to those communities or not, because it's not just like it's this myopic, I'm only interested in fighting for rights that I want, not, you know what I mean? And I think that's, you know, I'm 54 years old and I had a hysterectomy 9 years ago. I'm not going to get pregnant, but I will still fight for people's rights to get abortions. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure unless, you know, Archangel Gabriel comes, I'm not getting pregnant. But that doesn't mean you stop the fight. Like, oh, well, that can't happen to me, so I don't care about that. And that's not how it should be. And I understand people are mammals, and mammals have an agenda of survival. And a way to survive is to look out for your own things. And I get that. But we're not ever going to get the equality that we seek on the earth if we're not looking out for everybody else's rights as well. And that's when I kind of part ways with, I think, some different denominations religiously, is when it starts to be it's all about the agenda of them. And politics doesn't belong in church. It doesn't belong in the middle of your sermon. It just shouldn't be there. I mean, the separation of church and state was the smartest thing the founding fathers ever did. I wish we stuck even more to that, because you have to let everybody know, no matter what you believe, even if you believe nothing. And I always say this during my sermons, that being an atheist is a faith, because you do believe in something. You just believe the something is nothing, but you're still very devout. You have to let everybody have their own way to think and support everybody no matter what they think. Because, the world was not just made for the patriarchy, but guess what? It wasn't just made for you either. So it has to be for everybody, including people whose beliefs make your skin crawl. You still have to fight for their right to believe what they believe, too. It's hard.
Yeah. You know, and what's been really interesting is, like you're saying, it's like it's all about, you know, allowing the human experience and helping it evolve to have more and more understanding and more love. And assuming that everyone has their blind spots. Everyone has their, you know, the things that they don't see yet. And what's been really beautiful for me is having a lot of conversations with people who have very different viewpoints on things and just trying to understand their why. Why is this different? Why do you feel so passionately about that? And people that I really respect and admire, and then be like, oh, wow, you're really going down. That's really true to you. Okay, why? Like, and that just gives me more understanding. I don't necessarily agree, but at least I'm making a decision based off of a dialogue and a conversation versus just sticking to a team, like you're saying, you know. One of my, you know, and I think that, like, it goes down to just the fundamentals of, like you were saying, we are animal survival. And I, you know, if you've ever read any or listened to any of Alison Armstrong's material on gender dynamics of, like, how we are all human animal and human spirit, right? We all have animal instincts of survival, and yet we all can choose, like in the spiritual path, we can all choose things that are our higher selves and choose the better way. And really, it's like, if we can't make, we can be so mad at the world and hopefully go and do things to help it. But if we can't, it can't work on our interpersonal relationships and even our relationships with ourselves, how in the world do we think that we're going to be able to help the community at large? If we can't have harmony in the most important relationships in our lives, or at least be able to handle conflict in a way that's not abusive or, you know, detrimental, then you know, what, we're just going to suddenly become saint-like when we're out in the world, you know? So it's like, how do I, again, goes back to, like I said earlier, how do I take responsibility of my stuff? And then, of course, like we both have said, how can I support other people and be of value? So,
absolutely.
You know, I'm a big believer in, like I said earlier, what it is boiling down to, how can I use whatever circumstance I'm in to be able to help me evolve, you know, and become a better person and lead by example and also help others, you know, in the ways that we can, in whatever we're capable of. There's a great book called The Clarity Cleanse by Dr. Habib Siddiqui, who I'm a really big fan of. And he, you know, one of the things he talks about, you know, he says is, you know, you're doing the best given the given. And it's like, given the given.
I love that.
I am the best. The best thing you're doing is given the given. And you're like, and when you know more, you do better. You know? And instead of holding on to the trauma. And he's got a fascinating story, if you've never read his book or don't know about him, about, like, you know, overcoming a terrible cancer and burns and just, like, a lot of trauma. And he's, you know, a medical doctor in the integrative field. And it's, you know, it's like, so we're not holding on to all of that stuff. We're not spewing that stuff without consciousness onto our social media platforms, where in reality you wouldn't friend. But online we're like, we all become the worst road ragers. We're like, you know, like, what happened? Because there's no accountability to it, I guess. Or not for some, there is, but for a lot of us, there's not the same sort of accountability. So, you know, whatever. You know, I think that like what you're doing is so fantastic, because how can we just enhance the human experience? How can we understand each other more? How can we come together more? How can we have more compassion? And, you know, that whole spiritual idea of, like, if there's something you really dislike and hate about somebody else, it's probably something you need to work on in yourself to some degree.
Exactly. The eyes are mirrors, right? Or just blind, if you walk into the room and there's no asshole, it's probably you. I love that story about if you walk onto a movie set and there's an asshole, it's probably you.
Yeah.
Around,
yeah,
and think,
exactly.
Think about yourself, and you know what I mean? And yeah, and check yourself before you wreck yourself, as they said in the 90s. You are wonderful, my friend, and I love having you here. Where can people find you online? And please, let's do this again soon.
Oh, my gosh. I would love that. It's at Brianna Brown Keene on Instagram. My website is briannabrownkeen.com. And then for my book and my coaching, it's MYM, which is Manifesting Your Mission, .briannabrownkeen.com. And then The New Hollywood, my nonprofit, is thenewhollywood.org. And the Instagram for that is thenewhollywoodofficial.
Fantastic, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. Let's do this again.
Of course.
Time with you.
Time.
It's been too long. Let's not let another global pandemic keep us away from each other for all this time. And I thank
I
you
know.
So much.
What were we thinking? Okay, thank you.
Take care, my friend. The wonderful Brianna Brown, everybody. Right. She's fantastic. What a joy to have her here, and what a joy to have you all with me. If you're looking for me, Sheena Metal Spiritual, that's where you can find out everything about my spiritual, paranormal, and some of my artistic life. More is going there. It's a work in progress, like every website. Also, you can find me on social media everywhere, just at Sheena Metal. That's Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and my very old Pinterest page. LiveParanormal.com is where we are right now, and Raising the Vibration Radio for the show. And if you want to check out my nonprofit, RaisingTheVibration.org. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity. Always raise that vibration. It's so great to be here with you all. Remember to ascend. Evolve, inspire, and love. I'll see y'all next time. I love you all. Thanks for being here. See you next Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time for Raising the Vibration at LiveParanormal.com.